It is now midway the month of June. It is a month that is named after the Roman goddess Juno. In Roman mythology, Juno is the wife of Jupiter, the goddess of marriage. And that is why the month of June is popular for engagements and weddings. But of course, to us as believers, this is mere superstition. Any love relationship, including that of Christian fellowship, never depends on the time of the year. It depends on Christian virtues and graces that must be exercised in order for love to prosper. Ang pag-ibig na Kristiyano ay hindi nakabatay sa panahon ng taon, hindi sa anong buwan. Ito ay nakabatay sa mga biyayang dapat pakilusin upang tunay na magtagumpay ang pag-ibig ang Kristiyano. And we see this in the relationship that Apostle Paul seeks to rebuild with the Church of the Corinthians. After his severe letter produced contrasting results, he followed up with what is now our Second Corinthians. A minority of the church remains adamant in opposition to the Apostle Paul. And the latter half of this Second Corinthians, chapters 10 to 13, is predominantly addressed to that unrepentant portion of the church. We had that series in The Nature of the Mature. The majority, however, thankfully, is repentant. And to them, Paul addresses predominantly chapters 1 to 9, which is our present series. After giving an explanation for the reason for going through his affliction, Paul is now explaining a change in his travel plans. The original charge against Paul was his apparent change of plans of visiting Corinth, and to his opponents, it was a mark of weakness. It was a mark of flimsy decision-making. And Paul addresses that very issue. He does so by explaining the general direction of his behavior, and what Paul says about his behavior in our past message becomes a teaching point for Christian behavior in general. What dictated Paul's behavior is his conscience in consideration of the coming judgment of Christ. At sa ating mga kaugaliang Kristiyano, dapat ito rin ang ating pamantayan sa ating mga ugali. Anong dahilan ng ating mga pagkilos, ng ating pag-uugali, ay dapat ang nagdidikta ay konsensya na umaasa sa haharap tayo sa paghuhukom ng ating Panginoon. Now Paul continues to explain his side on why he had to change his travel plans. I would now invite you to turn your Bibles to the second chapter now of 2 Corinthians. We'll read verses 1 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Now, the repeated word that you can easily detect in this paragraph is the word pain. He uses it repeatedly. And yet, towards the end of the paragraph, he speaks of his abundant love towards them. Parang mahirap pagsamahin na nasaktan, ngunit masagana ang pag-ibig. They don't seem to belong together. What goes with love should be joy, gladness, happiness, pleasure. But in speaking of abundant love, Paul speaks much of pain that he had experienced in dealing with the Corinthians. We learn something here of Christian love, and this is my message. Christian love is prepared to bear and deliver pain to do spiritual good. Ang pag-ibig Kristiyano ay handa na masaktan at manakit para sa ikabubuting espiritual. Christian love is prepared to bear and deliver pain to do spiritual good. Now, much of the contemporary idea of love is sentimental, associated with happiness, associated with sentiment, emotion. This is the idea of love that you get from Hollywood, from pocketbook novels, from telenovelas. But the biblical idea gives us something else. And one of those that will run counter to the popular idea is the element of pain. May bahagi, may sangkap ng pananakit sa pag-iibigang Kristiyano. And what is the place and need for pain in exercising Christian love between brethren in the church? From the paragraph we have read, I suggest three. First, pain with reluctance, pananakit na may pag-aatubili, pain with reluctance. Secondly, pain as assistance, pananakit para makatulong, pain as assistance. And thirdly, pain for repentance, pananakit tungo sa pagsisisi, pain for repentance. All of this, I can show you, are present in the words of the Apostle Paul. So when we think of love that sometimes must have pain, first of all, let us think of pain with reluctance. It is impossible to read Paul's words in our paragraph without sensing the reluctance that he felt in inflicting pain. The very reason for his change of plan in going to Corinth is that he did not want another painful visit. His previous visit, he called a painful visit. There was a confrontation between him and the church. Probably, you can imagine, there was a shouting match between him and the leaders of the church. It was painful for Paul. It was painful for the members of the church. And another visit without resolving the issues will again be a painful one. And he decided to change his plan. Ang makikita natin dito, atubili si Pablo, hindi niya gustong manakit. Kung maaring maiwasan, iiwasan niya. And what we learn here is that it is a right concern to avoid hurting people and brethren unnecessarily. Tamang alalahanin na huwag makasakit ng mga tao, lalo ng mga kapatiran, nang walang saysay, nang walang dahilan. It is a right concern for Christians to avoid hurting people and brethren unnecessarily. There are those who think that it is their duty always to hurt people. They think it is being principled if they can hurt people. And so they hurt left and right on the pretext of being faithful. And the excuse is that's part of Christian love. Now we need to be very careful about our attitude in hurting people. It is never to be a desire to do so. Mag-ingat tayo sa saloobin natin ng pananakit. Hindi ito dapat isang bagay na gusto natin gawin. And you see here Paul's decision to defer his visit when he realized that it would prove to be painful yet again. There has already been a painful visit, and Paul does not want a repetition of the same. We see here Paul's deliberate assessment of how his encounter with the brethren in Corinth would hurt. And he decided to change his plan. Even though, as indeed it happened, he courted criticisms for that. Na pulaan siya ng dahil sa pagbabago niya ng desisyon, pero ipinapaliwanag niya na kaya siya nagbago ng desisyon na dumalo sa Corinto ay sapagkat na timbang niya na magriresulta lang ito sa pananakit. Masakit na naman na pagtatagpo ng mga kapatiran at nagbago siya ng pasya. We see here a man who deliberately changed a plan because he did not want to hurt people. A relationship of Christian love should be more about joy than pain and hurting. Paul says, if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? You have to detect from these words of Paul his utter reluctance. He does not willingly want to hurt brethren. Any decision that leads to hurting should first be reconsidered if there are possible alternatives. And Paul found one by not visiting Corinth. So, pinili niya ang huwag dumalaw sapagkat sa pagtitimbang niya, mauuwi lang ito sa sakitan. And he reconsidered. And the fact that Paul decides to postpone his visit to Corinth despite the criticisms, he saw it as worth taking. He would rather be criticized than unnecessarily hurt people. So with the decisions we need to make, if there is another way of doing it without hurting, consider it. Opt for it. Do not be the sort of person who loves offending people. I know of preachers who think they are only being faithful if they can offend their hearers, and they deliberately seek to offend. And that to me is contrary to the spirit of the gospel. Probably the most popular of X-Men characters in the movie is Wolverine, known for his wolf-like claws. And some Christians are like that when they speak. They have claws that hurt. And that should not be the case. There must be reluctance. If ever it becomes necessary, as we shall see, we need to. But there must always be the spirit of reluctance. So cultivate Christian love that builds rejoicing together. Paul used these words, "I wrote as I did, so that when I come, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice." So Paul is deliberately seeking a relationship with the Corinthians that would not be primarily about hurting each other. The relationship he expects of the Corinthians is one that should deliver rejoicing. And that should be the relationship we expect in Christian fellowship. He says, to make us rejoice. Yung magkaroon tayo ng kagalakan sa isa't isa. We need to watch those things that hinder our rejoicing with each other, such as gossip, backbiting, telling lies. Those are not for rejoicing. Paul expects that in his relationship with the Corinthians, he should be made to rejoice. And so with our expectation of Christian fellowship. Ito dapat ang asahan natin sa samahang Kristiyano. Any attitude that opts first for hurting rather than rejoicing is not of true Christian love. I hope you are reading our current series of silent devotions in our handouts. I'm taking them from the classic of Jonathan Edwards, Charity and Its Fruits. And charity, of course, is the old word for Christian love. And he's giving there an exposition of 1 Corinthians 13, what Christian love ought to be. And while it is clear that there is a part in Christian love that must deal with wrongdoing, you sense in Edwards' exposition that the predominant spirit is that of edifying one another, seeking to rejoice in one another. So there is a part for pain, but pain with reluctance. Then secondly, pain as assistance, pananakit para makatulong. Again, Paul said, "For if I cause you pain," that is something that Paul assumes has already happened. If I cause you pain, and that also assumes that it might happen again. It is part of the dynamics of Christian love. Paul admits that he had to do something that caused the Corinthians pain, and he might have to do it again. There was an encounter between Paul and the Corinthians leading to a severe letter. Now, that severe letter is no longer extant. Akala natin yung letters lang ni Paul sa Corinthians ay 1st and 2nd. There was in fact a letter before the first letter to the Corinthians, another letter between 1st Corinthians and 2nd Corinthians. Those no longer exist. This severe letter, however, caused pain. And Apostle Paul had to do it. To Paul, it was a necessary part of his sincere love for the Corinthians. And here we learn something that is simple but very important. It is sometimes, and I'm using the word sometimes, it is sometimes imperative to hurt in order to help. Kung minsan, kailangang manakit upang makatulong. The book of Proverbs has plenty to say about that. Proverbs 27 verses 5 and 6, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Rebuke hurts. Kisses flatter. But the wise man in Proverbs says, the one is better than the other. There is a judgment of something better. In the case of the Corinthians, they needed a rebuke from Paul, not flatteries. And so the severe letter was written. And probably in the providence of the Lord, it no longer exists because it is really meant only for the Corinthians as a rebuke, a private letter. But it hurt them, and they needed to be hurt. And the Corinthians, because of that severe letter, are the better for it. Not all of them, but most of them. There will always be those who will not accept the hurting. They will always react unkindly. But that is part of the risk you take in Christian love. Kasama yan sa peligro ng pag-ibig Kristiyano. Pain, remember, is a good thing in and of itself. C.S. Lewis gave a graphic illustration of this in his classic book, The Problem of Pain. He said, imagine a baby sleeping in a crib and a rat happened to wander inside the crib. And the rat began to gnaw at the flesh of the child. But imagine a world without pain. And so the rat begins to eat the flesh of the child, and it does not cry because there is no pain. You see the point of C.S. Lewis? Pain is good. It is the alarm system of our body, of our personhood. It is not pain that is bad. Pain is an alarm system in order for you to see something is wrong. And sometimes it is necessary on the personal, spiritual, emotional level to deliver pain in order to help. And you see what that challenges us to do? Love enough to hurt a brother, a sister who needs it. Magmahal ka ng sapat na handang manakit sa isang kapatid na nangangailangan nito. Proverbs 20 verse 30, blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts. Yun daw mga pagpalo ay nakalilinis ng kalooban. This explains why as reluctant as Paul is to inflict pain, he does so in his severe letter. And we must be reluctant to inflict pain. We must never do so willingly. But there are times for blows that cleanse. So when have you turned away from hurting, even when it was necessary for the brother, the sister? When did you opt not to write the severe letter? When did you not deliver the pain when it was necessary? You see, this is the rationale behind the spanking of an erring child. As unpopular as that practice is now, there is rationale to it. Pain communicates. Medical surgery necessitates cutting of flesh, of bleeding, in order to do good to the body. And yes, it is risky. You can be a hate object for that. An early group of Christians during the early centuries are the apologists. Now, the apologists are not people who apologize for the Christian faith. They were people who exposed the errors of paganism and defended the Christian faith. And because of that, many of them became hate objects. One of the better ones was a man named Justin. But so good was he in exposing the error of paganism, he became a hate object. And we know Justin today with a name that has attached martyrdom to him, Justin Martyr. That's the risk. but sometimes you take the risk in order to be able to help. Pain with reluctance, pain as assistance, and thirdly, pain for repentance. Pananakit tungo sa pagsisisi. Kung nakikinig kayo ng mensahe at kung minsan nababanggit ang kasalanan na parang mabigat sa inyong kalooban, na parang kayo'y tinatamaan, hindi ko po sinasadya na manakit. Ngunit ito'y ginagamit ang Banal na Espiritu upang ilantad ang inyong kalagayan sa harap ng Diyos upang sa pamamagitan niyan kayo ay magsisi. At ang pagsisisi ang isang hakbang, isang pangangailangan upang ikaw ay tunay na makalapit sa Panginoong Hesukristo. But that does not end with unbelievers. Ongoing repentance is a Christian duty. In this letter, as we go on, we will see Paul making reference to someone repenting of his offense after being disciplined. And he would appeal to the church for compassion on the person that the church should affirm forgiveness. You will see that in the next message. So this proves that Paul's intention is never to hurt intentionally, but only so that it may lead to repentance. Hindi siya nananakit para lang makapanakit, kundi nakikita niya na ito ang paraan upang akayin, itulak ang isang tao, kahit pa isang mananampalataya, tungo sa pagsisisi. We learn here that delivering pain on brethren is unavoidable on issues of sin and offenses. Sa mga usaping pangkasalanan, hindi maiiwasan kung minsan na kailangan tayong makapanakit. Paul is dealing with a man who has committed an offense. It needed the discipline of the church, and that will of course cause pain. But that is the point of dealing with sin and offenses in the church. Love has its painful part. Parents know this in dealing with their children's corruption. Christian leaders know this in dealing with the realities of corruption in the life of the church. We should know this as brethren when we have to deal with the offenses, with offenses of each other. Louis Pasteur discovered one of the most useful but simplest ways to address disease. Pasteurize. Bring the substance to boiling point. Neutralize microbes and diseases. And that is something that we can apply spiritually. Something that is unwelcome to the feeling, yet one that could neutralize the presence of sin. And the challenge to us is love firmly that addresses someone's sin for repentance. 1 Corinthians 13:6 makes it clear as one of the characteristics of Christian love. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Wrongdoing happens between brethren. But when we love at times of wrongdoing, what we want is to bring the person to repentance from that wrongdoing. This is the point of the gospel love of Christ that calls for the repentance of sinners. Kapag ginagamit ang salita ng Diyos na kuminsan parang matalas ang dating, hindi ito para lamang saktan ka. Hindi ito para lamang sabihin, hindi ito para hamakin ka. Ito ay isang kailangan upang makita mo ang iyong kalagayan sa harap ng Diyos na tanging si Hesukristo ang makalulunas. Ngunit tinatawag ka sa pagsisisi. There is always a call in evangelism that addresses sinners to deal with their sin in repentance. But so with sanctification among Christians. There is always a call that addresses believers to deal with their sin in repentance. And in Christian relationship, where there is Christian love, we can never avoid the issue of pain when there is sin. It is part of true Christian love. It is part of God's love. It is part of the love of Christ. And the Holy Spirit deals with us in conviction that is sometimes painful. I have shared many times that the booklet God used to convert me when I was in the depths of false profession was A.W. Pink's booklet on repentance. And it is when I saw the need for repentance that I saw how shallow it was that I professed faith, acceptance of Christ without the true gospel. And it is a continuing call for Christians to address the call to repentance. When we think of the Reformation, we probably think of the prominent doctrine of justification by faith. And many people think because one of the pillars of the Reformation is sola fide, faith alone, some have the wrong idea that the Reformation did not address repentance, and you can never be more wrong. You know that the Reformation started with Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses on his church door in Wittenberg. Do you know thesis number one of the 95 Theses? Thesis number one of Martin Luther is, when our Lord and Master said, "You repent," he meant that the life of the Christian is a daily repentance. That's point number one of the Reformation. And this is still a call for us. If repentance is going to be part of the Christian life, of the Christian relationship, then we need Christians who will love enough, who will love graciously, who will love firmly, that though they are reluctant to deliver pain, they sometimes find it imperative in order to help, in order to bring a person to repentance. And come to think of it, that is how Christ deals with us, graciously, tenderly, and yet firmly. The pain that issues from Christian love is not one to destroy. It is surgical. It is meant to heal. It is meant to help. And we need in the body of Christ such Christian lovers who will love enough, love graciously, love firmly, that they will find part for the pain. And one way to motivate us doing that is remind ourselves of how Christ dealt with us when he dealt with our sins. And our last song is reminding us of that. How did Jesus deal with us? The chorus says, "From sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hand he lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. He did not leave us be in our gutter of sin. He may have used something that surgically cut us, but it was only to lift us up. And now we are expected to do the same in Christian love." Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuting Ama, tulungan mo kami na tunay ngang magkaroon ng pag-iibigang Kristiyano na naaayon sa pagtuturo ng iyong salita, hindi sa popular na mga kaisipan ukol sa pag-ibig, kundi ang pag-ibig na ipinamalas katulad ni Pablo sa kanyang pag-ibig sa mga taga-Korinto na may sangkap ng pananakit, ngunit pananakit na may pag-aatubili sapagkat hindi niya nais na sadyang makapanakit. And help us, Lord, to realize that where there is true Christian love, we opt first for that which causes rejoicing. May we avoid those things that will only cause hurt without any necessity. Help us to be mindful of the sentiments and feelings of our brethren. And like Paul, who even changed his plan to visit Corinth just so he could avoid a painful encounter, we too must make such decisions to avoid unnecessary hurting. And yet, it is part of true Christian love that sometimes, in order to help, it is imperative to hurt. And grant, Lord, that we may be such a person described in Proverbs, ready for open rebuke than hidden love. The wounds of a friend do much. We ask, Lord, that we may be ready to do it, not out of deliberateness, but out of that love which seeks to assist our brethren. And this many times will have to happen where there is sin, where there is offense. For true Christian love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. And where wrongdoing happens without repentance, it is our bounded duty to deliver the pain that will lead to repentance. It takes risks. Yet help us, Lord, to be ready to do so. For we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the greatest of pain in order that he may lift us up from the miry clay of sin. And we ask that we may do the same towards one another, for we need each other to be reminded of the need of sanctification. And the need of sanctification will continue to have that need for repentance, and for repentance to be exercised. Sometimes the instrument is a believer, a brother or sister, willing to hurt in order to bring to repentance. Make us a church where this still happens, not the deliberate hurting by gossip and backbiting, but the hurting that is meant to be surgical, to heal, and to bring to repentance. And may this honor you in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.